So this is a little interlude between two sermon series, as I said, between Ecclesiastes and one around a topical one around loving our neighbours well. Ephesians 4, 1-6, just last time we had a little interlude, we actually sat in Acts 2, 42-47, and we thought a bit about our vision as a church. So I don't know if you remember that. I don't know if you remember this, this diagram. The idea that there is God's love, which is the outer circle, and then the three aspects, the idea of our identity in Christ as individuals, the idea of how we're a part of a church we belong to, that is our family, our spiritual family, and then the idea of walking with those outside of our family so that they might come to know God's love as well. We put it in words a little bit like this, that we would be a community empowered by God's love to passionately pursue those things, spiritual growth, authentic connections, meaningful service. Does it ring a bell? Remember some of that? Yeah. And it's a vision that's quite challenging, isn't it? It involves us leaning into and being impacted by God's love. It involves us as individuals leaning into God, being connected to Him. It involves us as individuals connecting with one another to be a family, and that can be at times quite daunting, quite difficult, a joy. It can be a range of things, can't it? But then also I think the sermon series that we're about to jump into with it, Loving Our Neighbour, is going to bring those things together as to how it is that maybe you or I walk with those around us, the people that Jesus would say are our neighbour, that we might love them. But today, we're going to jump in, we're going to keep all that in mind, I guess, as we come to Ephesians 4, because it's a really good passage to remind us of some of our vision. And I've got going to tell you a bit about what's happening at Assembly as well, in the midst of it all as well. So that's sort of where we are and where we're heading. And so, just very quickly, 3 points in the sermon. The first one is that we're being called to be humble, gentle, and have a patient love, which I think comes from the Spirit, essentially. It's a love that comes from God. Paul says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's this idea that the Spirit is at work in all of this. He alludes to unity. There's the bit about the bond of peace. But one of the things that is going to flavour, I guess, us as a community of God, as a family of God, is things like humility and gentleness and patience, which is really helpful just to sit for a moment with, because that's difficult at times. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. Paul then goes on. He says, there's one body and one spirit. He gets into oneness all of a sudden. There's one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Paul's really big on you and I being united in love through the Spirit. He's really big on oneness. And if you are aware of John 17, where Jesus prays to the Father, one of the things that he prays is that, would these guys be one like you and I are one? And we talk about the Trinity, don't we? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in the one God. Jesus is saying, the tightness that's going on between you, me, and the Spirit, can we have that for these guys as well? And Paul's just echoing that idea of oneness, one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all. We as human beings grate on each other, and this oneness is really difficult. We find it hard to be united. And I was thinking about this, and there's a lot of reasons for it, but one of the reasons, I think, is because we like to be comfortable. Now, my alarm went off at 6 a.m. this morning, and I did not want to get out of bed. It was comfortable. It was warm. It was snug. Outside was not warm. I was comfortable. When we're comfortable, we like being where we are. And one of the things that's just been a reality, I think, for the church is a reality for us as people in or outside of the church, is that sometimes being comfortable is just sort of linked to being right. We like black and white thinking. We like those who are for us and those, the idea that some are for us and some are against us. We're very quick to sort of, I guess, take sides, if you like. And one of the reasons we do that is because we take sides with those that we're comfortable with, people who smell like us, who look like us, who sound like us. But the problem is we sometimes hurt others in our desire to be comfortable, or if you like, our desire to be right. And so Paul is right to call us to be gentle and humble and gracious in the midst of that. But that's the first point. Essentially, Paul's banging on about us being one, and all in the mix of that is the Holy Spirit and love and humility and gentleness and patience. Now, the thing is, though, that in that oneness, we are quite different at the same time. And so just like the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all different, there's a oneness there. And so that brings us to a bit of our next point, I guess, in the way that we were created to be different, even though we were created to be one. That's an amazing thing that God has done for us as a church, that we should be like that. So just for a moment, he says this, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So just for a moment, you've been given grace. I've been given grace. You've been given grace. We don't actually all have the same level of grace, or the same amount of grace, whatever it is exactly Paul's referring to, I'm not sure. But it's been apportioned differently to each of us, which is a really interesting thing. I don't know if you've noticed, some parents here may have noticed this. Some children may have noticed this of their parents. That at any particular moment, as two parents dealing with one of your children, say one of your children has been very naughty, or from the children's perspective, you've been very naughty. And with your parents, one of them understandably seems quite cranky and coming down pretty hard and basically wants to bring about some form of capital punishment. Whereas the other one brings grace. And somehow truth and grace come together in two people. And that's helpful and it's good. One softens the other, if you like. I just wonder if there's this picture that Paul's saying that sometimes in God's family, some of us are struggling to bring grace. But Jesus has meant that there'll be some of us there who will bring grace when it's really needed to soften things, to help things. So anyway, he's apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on the high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. We hear about gifts, and just very quickly, very briefly, gifts of the Holy Spirit is something Paul talks about. There is a passage that's very similar to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 seems to be, in a nutshell, a little bit more of what 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 Corinthians 14 talks about. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body, and Paul's going to talk about that here in Ephesians 4. Talks about how even though we're all one body, we're different, but you know, the hand can't say to the eye, I don't need you. But at the same time, the eye can't say to the hand, well, I don't want to be a part of the body. There's a unity, but there's a difference with different purposes. He goes from that into 1 Corinthians 13, where he talks about love. He wraps the whole thing up in love. It's all got to be about love. Then he goes to 1 Corinthians 14, where he talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he talks about gifts here as well. Now, one of the things that is a mistake I think we make with the gifts is this idea that I've got a gift of the Spirit, so God has given me something, and that's where it stops. I think that's a false understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit is where God says, here's a gift for you to give to somebody. Here's a gift for you to give to your church family that they might be built up and encouraged. He gives us examples of these gifts. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. If you go to 1 Corinthians 12, you'll see that there's a bigger list. It's not just these things, there's some other things that he brings in. And some of these things, maybe it's a gift for a time. Maybe there's a season or a moment where you have the gift of prophecy. Maybe you're actually somebody who just does the prophecy thing like a lot all the time. Some of these gifts are for a moment or for a season or for a longer period. But this list is not exhaustive. But notice what it is. Like there's a whole bunch of different people coming together with the purpose that as a united group, we might function well, we might do things well. We need each other. If we're going to be the best that we can be, we need you to be leaning into God's love and being changed by Him and bringing to the collective what God has created you to bring. I need to do that. We each need to do that. And sometimes we'll be in a season where we are struggling with that, but there's somebody else as have been given grace by Christ to come in. Do you see the picture? I get excited by it all. And so we're called to be one, but we're called to be different and to do different things. That's how it all works. And it's all to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit, all wrapped up in love. Now, just for a moment, there's a reason why I wanted to talk to you about this morning. I said that I wanted to give you a bit more information around how it is that you could pray for the assembly this year. And so, in the midst of all of this, I want to tell you a little bit about what's happening at the assembly this year. Very briefly. And as we do this, just a little bit of a warning, I guess, as we move into it, that this is a difficult topic to talk about. And so this is a moment just to pause and, I guess, ask Jesus for a little bit more grace for each of us to be apportioned to us. And it's an opportunity to listen. It's an opportunity, I guess, over the next few days and hopefully over the next few weeks, if there's stuff that you particularly like to talk about as a result as well, that you'll have the opportunity to do that. But let me get into it. There's a discussion at the moment in the Presbyterian Church of New South Wales to have only male elders. It's something that has been debated on and off for years and years. And it hasn't gone away. It's still there and it keeps coming back. This Wednesday at Assembly, they are going to consider the work health and safety legislation as to whether or not we will then continue to talk about it this year at this assembly. Now, this is what I used at 8:30, and 8:30, I had a lot of questions afterwards, and that most of the questions were around that comment that I just made about work health and safety. What has that got to do with this? So just so you understand for a moment, the work health and safety legislation requires us to deal with those in our church appropriately in a loving way. And part of this conversation that's happened to date has actually probably potentially failed to meet the work health and safety standards in the legislation. And so legal advice has been sought, and there's, I guess, a division within the assembly as to whether we listen to the legal advice or whether we just keep moving ahead as we have been. So that's what Wednesday morning is about. Wednesday morning would be great to pray for, but we'll talk a little bit more about praying in a moment. This is a discussion, I hope you appreciate, that can cause pain for some, which is why the health, work and safety legislation is an issue. And so we're being asked to stop and to develop appropriate protocols and procedures that would help people who might find this topic particularly sensitive, potentially harmful at this time. So that you're aware, the discussion that they want to continue revolves around a paper that, I'm sorry, I think I've just jumped pages too quickly. Yep, has centres around a paper called titled Healthy Complementarianism. If you're not aware of the terms, complementarianism is the system which is seeking to have male-only elders. And was released by people who are wanting to make this change to male-only elders. If you would like to read that, or if you would like to know what is in it, then please come and see me. It's not a secret. They have spread it widely and asked us to talk about it. It is about 50 pages, and it's quite heavy reading. And so if you just want to come and have a bit of a summary, I'm more than happy to do that for you as well. When they sent that out, there was a number of individuals across various places within our denomination, as well as elders and as well as presbyteries, that sent responses to that. For us here at Macquarie Chapel, the elders had received the paper and they sent a comprehensive response dealing with the biblical arguments that were in the paper. If you would like to see our response to it, you're more than welcome to see that. It's not secret. And so just come and see me. It's not 50 pages, it's 15. We are, I do want to say this, not alone as elders from Macquarie Chapel in our desire to see female elders continue in our church. And if nothing else, that has been an encouraging thing at points, because sometimes you can feel alone, but we are not alone. There are others who stand alongside where we are at. But I do want to say this, that we're not assuming that everybody here at Macquarie Chapel agrees with the elders. And so you may or may not agree with having female elders. And we just want to pause for a moment and say that's okay, whatever it is that you believe or don't believe on this matter. Maturity can handle a difference of opinion. That's a sign of maturity, and we want to encourage each other to do that. And once again, this is where what Paul's talking about with grace and humility, that we hold those things with each other with this sort of a topic. So wherever you stand or currently sit on this matter, we want to make sure that you know that you are welcome here. We also want you to tell us if you feel otherwise, because we want to deal with that as well. We'd like you to feel welcome. We also, as an aside, as elders here with spiritual oversight and pastoral care of our church, would encourage everyone to wrestle with Scripture and with God for themselves, as with all matters of faith and doctrine. All these things, always work out for yourself what it is that you believe. Please, we don't want to be a place where we dictate and determine everything that people believe. We want to be a place where people can feel they can stay and work these things out as well. So, this little insert in the middle of the sermon is getting closer to an end. It does take a bit of explaining. Sorry about that. But I'd like to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask a couple of people who are going to come and pray in a moment for this situation. But I want to give you the opportunity to be able to pray as well. There's some sheets up the back, and I'll explain. There's two things that you can sign up for. But also, probably next week, we may announce a time where there might be a meeting where, if you want more information, you can come and ask questions. We'd love to be completely transparent with you. And help you understand what's going on and where things are up to. But we are certainly especially calling for prayer from 12 noon Tuesday through to 12 noon Wednesday. The discussion proper doesn't start until Wednesday morning, but the meeting, the General Assembly of New South Wales, starts at 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning. And so we're saying just, you can pray whenever you want, you know that, don't you? But we were really specifically wanting to call people to pray between lunchtime Tuesday to lunchtime Wednesday. We want to start on the Tuesday because on Tuesday, relationships will already be happening. This is something that has caused a lot of anxiety and stress for people. And so before we get to the actual topic, people are going to be in the room together. And so it'd be good if you could pray for that as well. And so there's a page up the back, and if you want, you can put your name down to pray some point in that 24 hours. And we just thought it might be a nice, helpful thing if people indicated when they might pray. And some people have said to me, I'll pray through the day or whatever, and that's fine. But if you wanted to say, put down like 2 p.m., I'm going to stop and pray on Tuesday, then that's helpful, and the rest of us can know that somebody might be praying at that point. The other thing too, though, is if you want to, you can say, if you see that somebody else is praying at 2 p.m. on Tuesday and you want to go up to them and say, you're praying at the same time as I am, do you want to have a phone conversation at a time and pray together, or meet for a coffee and pray together? I'd encourage you to do something like that as well. So you can put your name down to pray. There's a second thing you can put your name down as well, and that is put your name and your preferred email for this down to receive updates through the week if you would like, because that will inform you as to how you can pray as well. I can't tell you yet when those updates will come. I would just try and endeavour to do them when something new occurs through the week so people can be up to speed. In all of that, I just want to pause for a moment and say this is a conversation that may cause hurt or pain depending who we are and what we've gone through in life, and just where each of us is at. And I want to encourage you, if that is the case, if you find this distressing in any way, if you're able to talk to me, then please come and see me. If you're able to talk to any of the elders, then please come and see them. I would encourage you to do that. It would be great, for us to be able to love each other well in this space and to listen to each other well, to be united well, and to show grace. If you want to talk to me at morning tea, you're welcome to do that. If you want to talk to me at any time, you're welcome to do that. Why is it that Jesus, to go back to Ephesians now just for a moment, gave us these gifts, these people who would do different things? Why is it that he's brought so many people who are different together and called us to be one? I actually think it's a part of the journey that he has for each of us. And just for a moment, I want to say that it's one thing to sort of not quite be the same and aligned, but want to love each other well and move forward. That's one thing. It's another thing to talk about abusing people and forcing people to believe things or whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about us being a church where we love each other well in spite of our differences. I think that's a place that fosters maturity, helps us to grow. Indeed, if we were all just totally aligned with everything all of the time, I think we would very rarely be challenged. We'd end up being very comfortable and not motivated to move from where we are. Paul actually says it's to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of Christ. Paul paints this amazing picture. He's saying this journey where you're all united but you're all different and you're all bringing different things but showing grace and humility in an atmosphere of love, that's going to change who you are. It's going to help you to grow. We need each other, and we might be a source of discomfort at times for each other, but together as we do that, we can grow. It was interesting, part of the conversation after church this morning was this idea that Jesus made uncomfortable people feel comfortable. He also made comfortable people feel uncomfortable. He had that way of knowing what it was that we needed, which is why it's important for us to have the Holy Spirit help us in this as well. Paul goes on to say that if this were to happen, then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. I want to say that some of that, maybe it's a bit stronger than I'd like to say, but there is the reality that this is possibly something that's coming into all of this. We're actually getting distracted big time from what it is the church has been called to be and to do. It would be good if we could get back on track with the important things. Learning, growing, maturing leads to strength, faith, and wisdom. And so Paul ends by saying this. He says, instead speaking the truth in love, we will in all things, I just went Irish there, did you notice? In all things, grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I just want to encourage us in that. Not to, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, be the eye that says, I don't need the hand. Or to be the hand that says that we don't need eyes. rather for us in this time to see how it is that God's going to use all of us in this. I do wonder if you look at these 3 points, we get this idea that there is a love that is inspired by unity, which when you add that to the Spirit-empowered gifts, that there will be a godly maturity that comes about in God's people. And I was thinking about this, I thought unity leads to maturity. Being united forces us to work through things and become more mature as a result. But then the flip side is maturity actually leads to unity as well. As mature people, we're able to be united and hold these things with more grace. And so I just want to encourage us in that. So I'm going to ask Andrew and Lisa if they come up and pray. Before I do that, I do want to give you guys as well a bit of an outline as to what it is you could pray for. And I'm hoping these are positive things, a positive way of praying in this situation. Pray for unity in Christ across our whole denomination at this time. Pray for unity at assembly this week. And pray for unity for us here at MacChap. Pray for truth to be spoken in love. Presbyterians, if nothing else, are great at speaking the truth. Full stop. We need to do it with love, seasoned with grace. So pray for God's guidance in that. Pray for humility and grace through this. Pray for protection for the vulnerable. As I've alluded to, and some of you here may be feeling this right now, that there are vulnerable people in this conversation. And so I've given you some examples, and it's by no means exhaustive, and if I've left you off, please forgive me. It wasn't designed to be exhaustive. I don't know everybody's situations or feelings on this, but we have women elders in our church. We have women elders across our denomination in New South Wales. I can't imagine how hard this is for them. So please pray for them. We also have female employees across our state, and we have Sharon and Julie, who we employ here. And there's other women across the Presbyterian Church of New South Wales who are employed. I'm not sure what it's like for them in this space at this time. But then there are also others who have suffered abuse at the hands of men in leadership in church, for example, that this might be particularly difficult for. So if I could ask you to be praying for those things through this week. If you do put yourself down at a time and you're not sure what to pray for and you haven't got an update from me, these things will all be very applicable.